Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, if you have your Bible, hold it up. Let's make our confession together tonight. Y'all ready for the word, right?
Yes.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word tonight. Can we for the Word? Amen, amen, amen. Well, I want to share with you tonight, I believe a right now word, I want to help you get your miracle. Is that okay? You know, I want to help you get your miracle for your health. Maybe you need a miracle in your marriage. Maybe you need a miracle at work. Maybe you need a miracle in your finances. But tonight, I want to show you how to receive and get your miracle. Is that okay? Because we heard Pastor Kim talk about the miracle, right? Tonight she gave the testimony. We serve a miracle-working God. And we believe at Church on the Rock, with God, all things are possible, right? All things are possible to him that believeth or to her that believeth, right? Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight, and I hope you have something to take notes with. Confession brings possession. Confession, and you know what I mean by that. I'm not referring to the Catholic denomination of going to a booth and confessing your sins. Not talking about that. We're talking about declarations, affirmations, your confession. In fact, you're going to find out tonight that the word confession in the Bible, I looked it up in my Vine's Dictionary of New Testament words, it means to say the same thing. So when we talk about confessing the Word of God, we're saying we're going to say what God says about us, about everything going on in our life. We're going to say what God says. We're going to declare what God has already said. So confession brings possession. Can you say that with me? Confession brings possession. Okay? So, you know, right here in this auditorium years ago, and every time we come over here on a Wednesday night, you know, I'm always thankful. I remember his faithfulness. All you old timers, you remember when you come over here, just remember the faithfulness of God and our journey together and how good God has been. And you know, I was thinking this afternoon as I was getting ready to share this with you on confession will bring possession in your life of the promises of God. I was thinking about all the wonderful people that we had come through here down through the years that you know, stood here behind the pulpit. And when Chris Robinson was with us Monday night, he said, can I see Pastor Osteen's pulpit? You know, because we have that, John Osteen's pulpit. And so he wanted a picture of him behind Pastor Osteen's pulpit to put it on. It was really cool. I'm blessed to have that pulpit. Amen. So anyway, I was thinking about all the people. You know, Kenneth Copeland stood here. Creflo Dollar stood here. Hilton Sutton stood here. You know, the list goes on and on and on of Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A, stood right here. The CEO of Hershey Chocolate Company from Hershey, Pennsylvania, stood right here. Peter Daniels stood right here. You know, Jesse Duplantis, the Charles Capps. You know, you go all on and on and on of all the great heroes of faith that have stood here down through the years. I mean, we could go on and on and on. But you know, the one guest that we had that brought more people than any other guest? Now, second would be Jesse Duplantis. When Jesse came, he packed out this place, standing room only, people in the lobby. But there was one guy that drew more than him. The one guy down through the years that drew the biggest crowds, you may not know this, but we kept records. The biggest crowds of anybody in the history of this auditorium was Norval Hayes. Norval Hayes. Anybody remember Norval? He's in heaven now. But Norval Hayes attracted the biggest crowds of anybody. We had the power team. We had the Imperials. I mean, who didn't we have, you know? But Norval drew the biggest crowds of anybody that we ever had here in this auditorium. And I was thinking that it was Norval that I got this revelation through that I want to share with you tonight. It was actually Norval Hayes, when I heard him talk about the principle I'm going to share with you, that he illuminated and went off on the inside of me. Now, the principle that he shared was not just confession brings possession. You might say, Pastor, I know that, been there. Don't say that, because if it doesn't excite you, it's not working. But if it excites you, it's working. You got it working, okay? How faith operates, how faith works. We're going to look at that tonight. But it was more than words are powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. It was more than the revelation I got from Norval Hayes. It changed my life. And I want to share it with you tonight. It was deeper than just, and this, I got this through Kenneth Hagin years ago when I heard Kenneth Hagin back in the late 70s talk about confession brings possession. Changed Kim and I our life. But Norval came and brought it a little bit deeper. Norval Hayes. And I want to share that principle with you tonight. We're going to talk tonight about how faith works. Have you ever got something and it was brand new, it was cool, but you didn't know how to work it? Didn't that frustrate you? You know, you get something new, techie, especially techie stuff, okay? And, you know, my grandson will say, Papa, this is cool. You need this. This is awesome. And then when I get it, I don't have a clue how to operate it. So I'm frustrated. I got this new thing, but I don't know how to make it work. Well, a lot of people don't know how to make faith work. They don't know how to make their faith operate. We're going to talk about it tonight. But let's look at the definition in the Bible of confession. It means to say the same thing. It means to agree with what God has said. Not our circumstances, not our feelings, but what God has said. You know, that's how you walk with God, by the way. You say, Pastor, I want a greater walk with God. You walk with God through agreement. How can two walk together except they agree? So by agreeing with God's word, that's the shallow end of the pool. That's how I begin to walk with God, by finding out what he has said, and I start saying it. I start agreeing with it. I start declaring it. A few months ago here on Wednesday night, I taught a series on how to claim the promises of God. How to claim the promises of God. So confession brings possession, but confession in the Bible, it means to say the same thing that God has said. It means to agree with what God has said. Whose report are you going to believe tonight? The doctor, the banker, you know, whose report are you going to believe tonight? And it means to declare. That's the Bible definition of confession. And so here's the big idea. Here's the big idea that I got from Norval Hayes that changed my life forever. And by the way, Norval was a multimillionaire. He was an evangelist, but a businessman. So in both worlds, in the business realm and in the church world, successful multimillionaire, gracious, generous, loving, kind. He was awesome. I miss him. But here's the big idea I got from Norval. Bold declarations. Bold, audacious. Bold and audacious declarations bring big breakthroughs. I hope you understand. You know, Norval used to say, you got to yell at the devil. You remember that? Norval was known for that. You got to yell at the devil. What was he saying? You got to begin to make not mamby-pamby, not wishy-washy, not small, intimidated, but when you make, and this is what I got from him, when you make bold declarations, it brings big breakthroughs in your life. Now, if you don't get anything else tonight, if you walk away with that, that'll change your life, and that'll bring the miracle that you're needing. You got to be bold as a lion, right? You got to be bold and courageous. So Norval taught me that, Dave, you don't just make affirmations. You don't just confess the word. You don't just affirm the word. You don't just agree with the word, but you take the word the Bible promises, put it in your mouth, and make bold declarations, and it'll bring big breakthroughs. And his story was this. His daughter had 47 different growths on her body. His daughter. She was living at home, and she had some kind of disease on her skin. And Norval said she had 47 different growths all over her body. Norval said, I prayed for 3 years for her healing. Nothing changed. He said, I prayed and I prayed. This is Norval Hayes. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And he said, Dave, she never got better. She got worse. She got worse. And then he said, one day, he said, I was worshiping God, and he said, all of a sudden, I was in the presence of God like never before, and I got this revelation. He said, I got this revelation that I was supposed to go and begin to curse boldly the disease on her body. That I wasn't to pray it away, I was to say it away. I was to affirm, declare, confess, speak, curse loudly, boldly, confidently, and tell it to go. So Norval said, I began to do that. And he said, she didn't even know I was doing it. And Norval said, every time I would see her, he said, it was a sickening pus. He said, it was terrible. 47 different growths all over her body. But he said, I would say, I curse that. I command that boldly to go and leave her body. He said, in 40 days, took 40 days, and he said, one day we were at home, and she was in the bedroom, and he said she was putting up clothes in her closet. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard a scream from her closet, her bedroom, and she came running down the hallway, and Norval said, she said, Daddy, Daddy, look, what's happening to me? And they were all dissolving. Every one of them, all 47, left her body and never came back. Norval said the game changer was when you boldly declare. Boldly declare, not intimidated, not weak, not just, you know, going through the motion of confessing the word, but when you stand up, put your shoulders back, look straight in the eye of that mountain, and you speak to it. Bold declarations bring big breakthroughs. I remember Church on the Rock, 40 years old. I remember 40 years ago, Kim and I came here with 35 people, and I was invited in South County to go speak at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. I remember it was in South County, and we had just started Church on the Rock, had 50 people. And I remember I got up that night in that full gospel business fellowship, and I got up and boldly said what God was going to do in St. Charles County. I began to say how we're going to have a diverse church, a multicultural church, a church of thousands that's going to reach the community and set the pace and pioneer and then have a voice all over the world. And, you know, people afterwards came up to me and said, what made you think you can do that? What makes you think that's going to happen? Better people than you have tried. I mean, I got all kinds of encouragement. I got all kinds of encouragement. But what was I doing? I was making a bold, audacious declaration, and look, you're all here tonight. Thousands a part of our church brings big breakthroughs. Come on, can you give a look? Okay, if I set you up for success? Okay, so what's the big idea I forgot already? Okay, here we go. So let's look at Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verses 8 through 10. So we're looking at confession brings possession, okay? So let's look what it says. But what saith it? The word, that's the Bible, is nigh thee, even in your mouth. So what should be in my mouth? The word is nigh thee, even in my mouth. And guess what? Then it gets in my heart. Now, it doesn't change my life as long as it's in my mouth, but that's part of the process of it changing my life because it gets in my heart through my mouth. So the mouth is the first step of how you make your faith work. Okay? So in your heart is the word of faith, which we preach and teach at Church on the Rock. That if you will Wow. If you will confess with your mouth, and what does that mean? To agree with God? To say the same thing God is saying? To declare what God has already declared over your life? That if you will confess, now watch the formula, watch the process of how faith works. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So notice, first you confess and then you believe. First you make the confession, and through the confession, eventually you'll believe. So confession brings possession, right? So before believing comes confessing, right? So if you will confess with your mouth, then believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Regina was singing about tonight. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how did we get saved? By confessing and believing. By affirming, declaring, and saying what God has already said, with confession leading to believing unto our salvation. So you and I got saved with this process. You and I got saved with faith has a process. A lot of people say they have faith, which is a gift from God, but they don't know how to make it work. They don't know how to make it work. They don't know how to operate their faith. They don't know how to turn it on. Okay? You turn it on with your mouth. Faith is released through your mouth. Faith is released through your mouth. So how did you get saved? Through confession and what? Then believing. You got born again. I got born again by confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart. Okay, that's how we got born again. That's how we got in the kingdom of God. That's how we got in the family of God. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ, in other words, the way, the process that you got born again with, the process, I don't like to say it, but the formula, the process, and how you got born again is how you walk and receive from God in your Christian life. The same process, the same formula, how you got born again is how you receive your healing. How you got born again is how you receive your provision. How you got born again is how you receive restoration. The same way you got born again is the same way you claim the promises of God, is the same way you receive from God. Am I helping anybody? Okay. So as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So the same formula, the same process. Faith has a process. I have to know the process to make my faith work and get results. So the same way I got born again is the same way I receive all the promises, my entire inheritance from God, through confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart. Y'all with me? So say it with me. Confession brings possession. Okay? But it's bold declarations will bring you a big breakthrough. Pastor, how can you be so bold and audacious? Well, when you know what God has said, then you know God's will. And when you know God's will, you can step out. Oh, I like it. I like it. Okay, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the what? Confession of our hope. Whoa. Hope is the foundation for your faith. Hope is the foundation for faith. You know, I've taught you this. Hope comes before faith. Hope comes before faith. We were in staff meeting today listening to a John Maxwell teaching, and he was talking about hope and how hope is the foundation for everything we do that's achievable. Okay? So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What are we confessing? What he has promised. What are we saying? What he has promised. What are we affirming? What he has promised. What are we declaring boldly? What he has promised. Because he's faithful to carry it out. Oh, I like that. I like that. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And you know what that is right there, y'all? You-ins, you guys, us, we-ins. You know what that is right there? That's the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is holding on to your confession. Yeah, you know, I think that my biggest problem, and I know I got a whole lot of problems, but I think my biggest problem in my life is my big, fat, amen. That's my biggest problem. How about y'all? Okay, six of you agree with me. Okay, all right. So now let's go to Mark 11:23. You see, I know that verse. Well, so do I, but every time I read it, it excites me because this is the process of faith. This is how faith operates. This is how faith works. This is how we receive what we've been promised, okay? This is how you go into the promised land. So look what he says. So verily I say unto you that whosoever will say unto this mountain. Now, a mountain is an obstacle, a difficulty, something standing in your way. An obstacle, it's an obstacle, something in your way, it's a problem. It's something you're dealing with. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so we're to not pray the mountain away, but say the mountain away. That's what Norval did. Norval said, I prayed for 3 years for my daughter to be healed. Nothing happened until I began to boldly declare the word of God. Boldly declare, and that brought a big breakthrough, total healing for his daughter. In 40 days, what he couldn't do in 3 years. Using the principle I'm sharing with you tonight. You see, that worked for Norval, but you and I are whosoever. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're a whosoever. Amen. That whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And you will not doubt in your heart. So notice, I can doubt in my head and it not hinder my faith. But if I doubt in my heart, that's my spirit, then it hinders my faith. I can keep it from going doubt in my heart by what I'm saying with my mouth. Because it got to go from my mind to my heart, right? What's in my mouth goes to my mind, but I can keep it, the doubt, that spiritual warfare thoughts that are in my head, as long as I keep them from getting in my heart, my faith will still work. And I keep them, the doubt, from getting in my heart by not speaking doubt. I keep the doubt out of my spirit by not speaking doubt. I keep the doubt out of my heart, even though it hovers over my head, spiritual warfare, casting down imaginations. Even though it's in my head, I can keep it from getting in my spirit and hindering my faith by not speaking doubt, but speaking, affirming, declaring, confessing what God has said. Amen. Y'all still with me? Okay. So verily I say unto you that whosoever will speak into this problem, obstacle, difficulty, challenge, terrible season, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which they saith shall come to pass, future tense. And so, you know, the time that you are speaking to it till the time that it is removed, that's called the good fight of faith. From the time you start speaking to it to the time it's removed, that's called the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith, you fight it with your mouth. The good fight of faith, you fight it with your mouth. Notice Norval said it took 40 days. After 40 days, the mountain was removed. All 47 growths were gone. But shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you saith. Note with me, family, three times we see the word say or saith. Three times. One time you see the word believe. Three times the word say or saith. One time the word believe. What do we take away? We need to be focusing on what we are saying. We need to be focusing, managing our mouth. We need to be focusing not on the circumstances, not on our feelings, but three times the mouth, one time believing. So that means that I need to, every day, I need to have a confession list, a blessing list, a thankful list. Count my blessings, name them one by one. Praise the Lord. We can do that, right? So it's real important then that we understand that that's telling me that I need to manage my mouth. I need to control my tongue. I need to work on what I'm saying every day of my life. And here's what I know, that our problem, your biggest problem, I'm going to include you now. And my biggest problem is our big, fat mouth. And that's what gets us into more trouble than anything else. Your mouth controls your life. That's worth coming to church. Your mouth controls your life. I don't believe that, Pastor. James chapter 3, it likens your mouth to a rudder on a boat, a bridle and a bit and a horse, and that directs the ship and the horse. Your mouth is controlling your life. So if you want to get control of your life, get control of your mouth. Your mouth controls your life. If you want to control your life, control your mouth. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm helping somebody. So three times say, one time believe. Big idea. Focus on managing your mouth. Matthew 12, 34. I know, I've been here 40 years, and here's what I know. I know the level of every person's faith in this church by just visiting them in the lobby after church. Did y'all hear that? I can locate your faith. You can locate my faith by our conversation. Our words reveal the level of our faith. Our words reveal the level of our faith. Listen to someone talk, and it reveals what's in their heart. And where is faith? In your heart. So I know if somebody has strong faith, if by the words they're speaking. I know somebody is struggling with their faith by the words they're speaking. I know somebody has weak faith by the words they're speaking. You locate someone's faith by their words. Are y'all with me tonight? Y'all are awesome. We're just going to keep Regina here every Wednesday night, right? Praise the Lord. Okay? So you generation, oh boy, Jesus, he was blunt. Oh, you generation, you snakes. I've never called anybody a snake on the pulpit, but Jesus did. He said, you snakes, how can you be evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of what's in your heart, your mouth will speak. Your mouth controls your life. And if I want to get control of my life, I've got to get in control of my mouth. Confession brings possession, good or bad. Good or bad, it works the positive or the negative. So just by listening to somebody speak, I know what's in their heart, and I know the quantity of it in their heart by what they're speaking. Y'all got that? Turn to somebody and say, I think he's talking to you tonight. Well, I think he's not talking to me. He's talking to you. My mouth reveals my faith level. My mouth reveals my faith level. I think it was Charles Capps who said that your faith will never be any higher than your confession. Your faith will never be any greater than your confession. Your faith will never be any stronger than your confession. So how does faith operate? We say we have faith, but what I found out is a lot of Christians don't know how to operate it, don't know how to make it work. And can I give you the process? It starts off with confessing. And then you begin to believe, and then you confess again. That was in Mark 11, 23. You start off, you don't believe, your mind's unrenewed, you're struggling with thoughts, you're struggling with feelings, you're struggling with circumstances, we've all been there, but you just keep saying what God has said. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I can have what he says I can have. You just keep saying it, and eventually the process, the formula, how faith works is you begin to believe it. And then when you believe it, then you confess speak to the mountain, then it's removed. See, for those 40 days, Norval was confessing to believe. And at the end of the 40 days, he believed and he cursed it and they were gone. So the formula is you've got to start with your mouth. Faith starts with your mouth. Remember how we got born again? Confession, believing. So if you want a miracle, my pastor, John Osteen, he wrote a book called A Miracle in Your Mouth. A Miracle in Your Mouth. So my mouth reveals my faith level. And for sake of time, we're not going to go through Numbers and 13, 14, which is the 12 spies. Y'all remember that? Yeah. The 12 spies. And remember, their big fat mouth got them in trouble too, right? Yeah. They didn't get to go in because of their mouth, right? You remember it says back there that God said through Moses, as you have said, so it be unto you. Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah. You know, the 12 spies were sent in. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back, Joshua and Caleb, a positive report. And God said to them, as you have spoken, so it be unto you. Principle. As we speak, so it be unto us. Confession precedes and brings possession. Whoa. Praise God. My faith level will never rise above my confession. Takeaways as the team comes. Accept as your own the promises of God. Here's what I know. Until I personalize the promises, they won't work for me. I've got to personalize the promises of God. I've got to put my name in there. I got to accept the promises of God as my own. Everybody say accept. Accept. Number two, I've got to agree with the promises of God. I've got to agree. I'm not running from my circumstances. I'm not denying my circumstances. I'm saying, yes, but God. I'm agreeing with the promises. So I've got to accept them as my own and make them personal. Then I've got to agree, because how can two walk together except they agree? And we all want to walk with God. I've had to agree, what does the word say, with the promises of God. Notice they all start with A. I have to acknowledge the promises and make a list, a confession list, a list of what I'm believing for, what I want to see happen in my life, where I want to go, who I want to be, what I want to have. I've got to make a list, and I've got to begin to acknowledge that, declare that boldly every day for a major breakthrough in my body, my family, my business, my ministry, my career, my finances. So the first one was, I forgot already, was accept, and then we agree, and then we acknowledge, and then awaken within us the possibilities. Then what happens is your spirit gets stirred up, and on the inside, you get stirred up and you begin to see the possibilities that God has for you. You begin to see the promises of God. You begin to visualize them. You begin to see them. You know, again, I'm going to brag on Chris, Neil. I asked Chris, you know, Robinson from Monday night. I said, Chris, what do you think, what is one of the major things that have got you where you're at? You know what Chris Robinson told me? He said, my imagination. He said, I work on my imagination all the time. Wow. We just did a series on the power of positive imagination at Church on the Rock, right? So awaken then the possibilities on the inside begins to happen. Then number five, what do I have to do? I have to act on them. I have to act on them. I have to be a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God. So the big idea is this. I want you to walk away from here and make it a daily habit that you'll begin to daily, boldly declare the promises of God, boldly like Norval Hayes. And what's going to happen is you're on your way to major, major, big breakthroughs. Y'all ready for that? I'm out of time. Did you get something? Give God praise for the word. Come on, let's thank him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one moving. Let's pray a corporate prayer tonight for those that are here, for those that will listen to this teaching in the future. Let's just pray a corporate prayer. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. I want a relationship. I don't want religion or a ritual, but I want a relationship. I want to know God. I want to know my purpose. I want to know the love that Regina sang about tonight, that you love me and you accept me as I pray for me, Pastor. Or you're a believer and you say, Pastor, I need to reset my life. I'm living way below my privileges. I'm living way below. I'm thinking too small, living too small, believing too small. I've been limiting God with my mouth. I want to reset my life. Pastor, pray for me. So let's all pray together. Y'all help me. Here we go. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.